Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Mark chapter 4, verse 35. The Gospel of Mark chapter 4, verse 35. The Gospel of Mark chapter 4, verse 35 reads this way. It says, "And the same day when even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight asking once again, Lord, for your blessing, the filling of your spirit, the guidance of your spirit, that we might hear from you and worship you in truth and spirit. Lord, that you might be glorified in our hearts and our minds and in our lives, and we'll give you the praise for that. Again, bless tonight and empower your church to be found faithful servants, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message tonight is, Let Us Pass Over Unto the Other Side. Let us pass over unto the other side. Now, there is a specific interpretation, but there are a lot of applications, and I want tonight to take a few moments and look at a spiritual application that is important. And as we consider our text tonight, we want to look at what is the place which Jesus was asking his disciples to cross over to. Now, we know that there's a physical place that the Lord wants us to cross over to, but there's also a spiritual place that God wants us to walk with him. And so tonight, as we consider, we're going to find out what this place is all about, where God wants his disciples, and it always requires faith. It'll always require faith. It begins with faith, does it not, concerning salvation? But does God want us to stop following him at the point of salvation? Sometimes people can think, oh, listen, I'm following the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because I've trusted him as my Savior. Oh, wait a minute. That's trusting the Lord as our Savior, that is where it all begins, and that's important. But just because we've trusted the Lord as our Savior doesn't mean that we're following him as he says, okay, now let's go over here. All right, now let's cross over this place. All right, now we're going to see, it's a journey, is it not? It is a walk, and it's a growing walk that God leads us into, and we discover more things about the Lord and his grace and our lives in him. So I want to consider, first of all, verse 36, and what is, again, this place that the Lord wants us to cross over. And the first thing we want to take notice of, that it is a place of special invitation. It is a place of special invitation. The lost are not invited to this place. The lost are invited to trust the Lord as their Savior, but the lost cannot follow the Lord wherever he goes. But you and I can, and the Lord invites us to do that. Look at verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitudes, they took him even as he was in the ship. All right, so there's the multitude being sent away. And then here we find the disciples being brought to this place to follow the Lord. Notice, and there were also with them other little ships. So here are these other ones. And by the way, listen, the multitudes are sent away. But notice it says also they took him even as he was. And so there's no really special preparation. You remember when the different individuals were saying, Lord, I'll follow you, but first let me do this. Lord, I'll follow you, but first let me do that. And he says, oh no, listen, if you're going to follow me, one fellow said, well, I have to bury my father. And the idea, can I wait till I bury my father? The idea is that when he dies, it wasn't that he was getting ready to die. It wasn't that he died, but the idea was that he was going to just stay around until his father grew old. Died. Then he would follow the Lord. A lot of times, people have intentions one day, say people, intentions to really get committed to serving the Lord. Well, listen, we're fooling ourselves if we're not willing to do it today, because tomorrow really will never come. That's like the lost person saying, well, one day I know I need to be saved, and one day I'll trust the Lord. One of the saddest situations I'd ever taken witness of, Dr. Adams was preaching a revival service where I was pastoring back in 2004. And there was this fellow who was in his 80s who had grown up in church. He did not know the Lord as his Savior. And his wife asked me if I would come by with our speaker. I said, I'd be glad to do that and witness to him. And oh my goodness, I thought he was going to get saved.
He said, yes. He listened to the plan of salvation. He said, I'm familiar with it. I'm ready to trust the Lord. And I don't know what happened. He just got, all of a sudden, he got quiet. We were ready to pray. And he said, no, not today. I don't think I'll do that today. I was dumbfounded. I thought, oh, he's going to trust the Lord as his Savior. And I really don't know whatever came of that, because for the next few years that I was there, he never made a move, never came to the church house. And I'd gone and visited him again to try to encourage him. But he said, I'm just not ready to do it now. In his 80s, just not ready to do it. And that was back in 2003, 4, 5, somewhere around in there. And he wasn't ready to do that. What a sad state of affairs. So we can see that, but how about for the believer? How important is it for us? So again, in verse 36 says, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took to him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with them other little ships. And so here we find the other little ships. We're not alone in the walk of faith. And that's important, because sometimes we might feel that something peculiar or strange is taking place in our lives when we seek to follow the Lord. But it's not. When we encounter difficulties and hardships, God never said that these things would not be into our lives, but he said that he would always be with us in and through those things. So it's a place of special invitation. Secondly, I want you to notice in verse 37, it's a place where our faith will be tried. So look at verse 37. In fact, this is almost an immediate test. They're right there in the ship. And notice what it says in verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship. Now that's a scary thing. If you've ever been out at sea, it is a scary thing when the waves are coming into the ship. I've only experienced that to a small degree, only on a 40-foot boat that I thought was a pretty big boat for me, all right? But listen, if you talk to people that were on, I've seen some videos of, what do you call those ships that carry all those, those containers and stuff like that? And I watched one break in half. I'm telling you, I mean, that thing just hit and boom, and it just went like that. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I thought those things were unsinkable. Well, that's what they thought about the Titanic as well, right? And God showed them different. So I guess maybe that's why sailors have a little smart to fear the ocean, because of what could happen. And so no doubt this was a trying time for them. Verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. That's a lot of water. And by the way, listen, that can happen in our lives, can't it? We can enter into a storm where we feel like the water's all in there, I'm going down. But isn't it amazing you're here tonight? Why? Because the Lord saw you through it. The Lord will always see us through it. And so we find here, as we consider this, it was an immediate test. And why is that? When we say, Lord, I'm ready to follow you. So you've heard this. It takes us out of our comfort zone, right? But that's not the end of it. It's to place us in God's comfort zone. What is that? Where we can trust the Lord. Where we have past experiences like David did with the lion and the bear when he was getting ready to face Goliath. Like the three Hebrew children did when they faced the fiery furnace. And as well with Daniel, when he can look back and he was getting ready to go into the lion's den. He didn't have to even think about it. He went out and he prayed just like he always had, knowing that they were waiting to incarcerate him and throw him into the lion's den. And sure enough, that was what took place. But he was able to count on God's great faithfulness in the past. So right away, this was taking place. And where was the Lord? The Lord was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Now that, listen, that speaks volumes. We cannot necessarily see that when we're in the midst of a storm, but when we look back, we say, well, the Lord was right there the whole time. What did I really have to fear if the Lord's there? He's not going down. Amen? And so if I'm with him, I'm in a good place. And so notice what happens right here in verse 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, now listen, carest thou not that we perish? Now we can laugh at that on this side of it, but they really had some serious concerns. You've got to imagine if we were in a ship, even with the Lord, and it was full of water, we would, needless to say, have some concerns, but we have to be able to say, the Lord is in control. Now, I want you to know something. I need to remind myself, with all the craziness that's going on, the Lord is still in control. With everything, listen, none of this, we think, oh my goodness, COVID, what are we going to do? God was already there, already knew what was going on. And we can talk about other things that have taken place or that might even will take place. The Lord still holds us in his hands. And so they say, carest thou not that we perish? And of course, the Lord did care about that, but it was a test. And by the way, listen, naturally, we do think that the Lord maybe has forgotten us. But spiritually, we can be reminded that the Lord holds us in his hands. Listen, we can look at the world and naturally we can say this, ready? The world is upside down. But spiritually, the Lord holds the whole world in his hands. And look, this is just a passing thought here, but the Lord told the disciples, they said, well, when will the sign of thy coming be? When will the end be? And he talked about all these pestilences and famines and earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars and all these things. And then he says this, but the end's not yet. You're going to go through all these things and wait, it's not over yet. But then the Lord likened the second coming to a woman in travail giving birth. And that's not a pleasant experience. I never heard one woman say, oh yes, childbirth is such a wonderful experience. No, that's not the case. But afterwards, it brings forth a blessing. And afterwards, when everything takes place, we're going to be in the presence of the Lord. And I promise you, we are going to say, I never thought. I don't even know if we're going to say that. We're just going to be so captivated by the Lord, right? We're just going to be praising him. And so in this particular case, the Lord was bringing them to a place where their faith could be tried. Well, what was the purpose of the trying of that faith? It was so that they could grow in trusting the Lord. When you look at the book of 1 and 2 Peter, remember Peter was the one, oh Lord, you can't go to the cross. You suffer? Oh, that shall never be. You read the book of 1 and 2 Peter, what does he talk about? Suffering, 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 and what that brings. He became a master at teaching about suffering that he went through, that he experienced. Was not the proverbial rug pulled out from underneath Peter's feet more than once? Listen, not only did things not happen the way that he thought they shouldn't happen, but not only that, but listen, then he, on top of that, denied his Savior. Now that's, listen, so not only did he look at things and say, no, that shall never be, and all of a sudden he's watching it unfold and come to pass in his own life, but then at the end of it all, he ended up denying the Lord. And then, man, he wept bitterly, the Bible says. And then what did the Lord say at the resurrection? Hey, call my disciples and Peter also, right? And so he understood some things that he didn't before. And that's what the Lord wants to do with us. Thirdly, it is a place where we will see the power of God. Look at verse 39. And he arose. Remember, they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Not just a calm, a great calm. Have you ever been on a body of water where it looks like glass? Nothing is moving and it is quiet. And no doubt this was a great calm. So it's a place where we will see the power of God. Do you think that impressed them a little bit? Remember, they thought they were getting ready to die. Carest thou not that we perish? The water was in the boat. And now all of a sudden, it's a completely like that, another picture. The Lord just changed it. Listen, in the twinkling of an eye, one day, it's all going to be over on this side and just getting started for all eternity. Let me say that again. Listen what we have to look forward to. Eternity that will just always be getting started. Always just be getting started. We've been here how long? I don't know. It seems like we just got here. And what will we be doing? We will be praising the Lord. We will be seeing things and experiencing things that our minds, I'm afraid, would, you know, wow, that just blew my mind. I think if we were really to see it, it would really blow. Our bodies surely could not handle it. And yet God's going to prepare us to be able to enjoy that. So it's going to be a place where we will see the power of God. Then notice also, it will be a place where we will be spiritually corrected. This is the place where God wants to bring us to, verse 40. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Now listen, this is the spiritual correctness. He's saying, how is it that you have, you know who I am. You've seen me work. You've seen some things. By the way, and they're getting ready to see some things now as they crossed over onto the other side. They're going to meet with the maniac of Gadara. They're going to meet with the woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years. They're going to meet with the high ruler's daughter who died. And they laughed at the Lord when he said that she's only asleep. Why are you so worried? And he raised her up from the dead. And they were seeing all that. So what does that do? What does that experience? What should that experience do? It should build our faith, our confidence in God's great faithfulness as we see time and time and again God's fulfillment. And we have to come to the place of calling upon him to walk in that. So if we really believe in that, Jesus made time every morning before it was light to spend time in prayer with his heavenly Father. Listen, may I tell you something? That is the best time to pray. Not the only time, but the best time, the less likely to be interfered with, is a time when nobody else is awake and get up there and just say, God, I need you today that I might know that I am walking with you, that I'm walking where you want me to walk, guided by your Spirit to glorify you. And so that brings confidence and drives fear away. And so he's asking them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Listen, did Daniel have faith? Did David have faith? Did Abraham have faith? Did Job have faith? Did Joshua have faith? Did Moses have faith? Okay, think about this one before you answer it. Did any of them have any problems with faith? They did, didn't they? But they were brought to a place to where they were strengthened in the faith because of the repetition of God's great faithfulness. They saw God come through time and time again. Listen, I think it's Exodus chapter 14. I'm not for certain about verse 17, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, I'm reminded that Moses delivered Israel from Egypt, did he not? How many plagues did he watch, and by the way, that he was the instrument of, To bring these plagues to pass at his word? 10 of them, right? 10 plagues. So he saw that take place, and then he gets over to the Red Sea, and there's the Moses is sitting there telling the people of Israel, "Don't fear, get ready to cross over." And then the next couple of verses, it's the Lord speaking to Moses, "Why criest thou unto me?" He says, "Get over there and get busy. Don't worry, it's all going to take place." And sure enough, the sea opens up and they pass through it onto the other side. So there was a moment there of doubt in the heart of Moses, but he had been faithful through all these plagues. And what we can see is that, listen, in spite of our frailty, God will be faithful. That's so important. God brings us to this place as we follow him, not what we think, not how we feel, but as we follow what he has given to us in his word. That's where the hand of God gets heavily involved in the life of the believer. We think, oh, that was just for Paul, or that was just for David, or that was just for Daniel. No, listen, it's for you and I. These things have been written down in the Word of God for our examples. Isn't that what the Bible tells us? So that we might experience the same thing. Why? Because it glorifies the Lord that great faith is seen in our lives, great confidence, and not to get caught up in the things that do not bring faith, but the things that bring great faith that God wants involved into our lives. So the Lord says, come with me. Were these things going to build? Did the Lord know that these things were going to build great faith in the life of his disciples? You're not going to get that out of the news. Just saying. You're not going to get that out of good entertainment. I'll just throw that in there. There's a lot of good entertainment that we can get busy here and there and miss out where God wants us to be, and that's with him and experiencing him and his grace in and through our lives. That's what life is really all about. So it's a place where we will be spiritually corrected. So this is a good question. Don't answer this one out loud. Are you being spiritually corrected? Is God showing you? Maybe we've had some things twisted around, misunderstood, saved by the grace of God, absolutely, but maybe not realizing what God wants to do as much as he wants to do in and through our lives. And that's what's important for us to understand. Otherwise, we're carrying this big weight that God never intended us. Boy, to be a Christian means I've got to do this, and I just can't do that. Well, guess what? The Lord never intended us to do it. He intended to do it and wants to do it in and through our lives as we yield to him. And lastly, it is a place where we will grow spiritually. We'll have spiritual growth. What kind of spiritual growth? Exceedingly, right? How can I do that? Like if you take a cup and it overflows, you filled it exceedingly, right? I hope you don't see these little red lights on the back and they say, excuse me, you've exceeded the speed limit, right? Hope you don't see that. Anyway, verse 41, notice what it says here. And they feared exceedingly. See, this is the place that God was wanting to bring them to. That's reverence for God, exceeding reverence, because they experienced something in their lives personally. Listen, God wants you and I to experience something in our lives personally that will make the difference. Maybe nobody sees it, but you will. Maybe nobody else will know it, but bless the Lord, we will. If that's what we're looking for, if we say, God, this is what you want to do in my life. You want to bring me to this place to where I will have great fear and great respect for who, that I might know you to a greater degree and grow in that grace. So verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another. That's good to do, to speak to one another and say, man, did you see what God has done? What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Isn't that something? Is God doing something in Northwood Baptist Church? I'm amazed. I'm amazed. We're having visitors, are we not? We had Miss Jenny join here last Sunday. Oh, a week before that, we had Brother Becker baptized. And we praise the Lord for those things. And still more to come. We have a nice showing tonight. We praise the Lord for that. Amen. Why? Because God's working, and let's thank him for it. God, thank you for the work that you're doing. And here's what God is saying. Follow me, and yet there's more to follow. Amen? There'll be more to follow. Follow me, and I will show you things that we don't know about. Amen? In our own personal lives, we get examples from the Word of God, but God really wants us to pass over onto the other side. What's that? To the side of faith, to the side of understanding God to a greater degree, to a side where we were. Do you know, listen, you might find this hard to believe, but do you know that God enjoys answering your prayers and mine? He does. It glorifies him that he answers our prayers. He's answered all kinds of prayers for me. And by the way, listen, sometimes he redirects my prayers. And then here's another prayer that we can ask him for. So it's not just, Lord, these are what I need. This is what I need in my life. But how about this one? Lord, I want to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth more laborers because the fields are wide unto harvest and the laborers are few. And so let's call out. That's a prayer that he said we ought to call for, to the Lord of the harvest, that he might send forth more laborers because the fields are wide unto harvest and the laborers are few. He said, ask me for that. If we ask him for that, do you think we'll get an answer for it? May I tell you, I think he's already answering. He's already answering. A lot of times we think, well, if we ask him to send forth more laborers, he's going to send to us. Well, praise the Lord if that's the case. But he can also speak to hearts. And we've been seeing that take place. So the Lord says, come with me over to the other side. And all we have to say is, yes, Lord, I want to follow you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, the understanding that it brings to our lives and to our walk with you. I pray, Lord, that as we call upon you, that you would encourage and build our faith, to know that you truly do hear us and answer. And we thank you, Lord, for the visitors that you've sent our way, for the health needs that you've been meeting, and Lord, for the spiritual needs that you've been meeting. And we ask that you continue to do so and instill in our hearts to call upon you every day, even the Lord of the harvest, that we might see more souls brought to you. And not only that, but that we might grow in our trust, in our faith in you, and see great and mighty things that glorify your name. Bless the rest of the evening, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.